Welcome to Raising Deaf Children Podcast. Our parent company is Deaf Parenting. This is Alex Stephen with this episode entitled Brian Ainscorff, Larry's Favorite Soccer Coach. In this segment, I will share with you Brian's perspective. Well, Brian and I will share his perspective and experience coaching a deaf soccer player in Division I club, and that was for the Boston Eagles. Please download our free story, PDF, and audio by going to www.deafparenting.com. Again, the title is Brian Ainscorff, Larry's Favorite Soccer Coach. I'll introduce Brian right now.
I had the chance to meet him through the game that he was really, really passionate about. The thing he was really passionate about in life was soccer.
Yeah.
So I got fortunate to meet him.
Yeah, and he still is. He still plays. Yeah. He plays in a men's team. So, Brian, what I want to ask you is to discuss your first impressions when you met Larry. You know, when he came to the tryouts, you didn't know him. Because of the age group you were working with, you never saw Larry when he played for the previous club.
That's right. So
this was the first time you saw him when he came to tryout for your team with the Boston Eagles. Mm-hmm. So if you could just share with us, what were your first impressions and how things developed from there?
Well, just a little background. At that time, I was coaching at Providence College as the head soccer coach at Providence College. And then, you know, we were with this Division I club, which myself and the Boston College coach, Coach Kelly, had at the time, and it was a pretty elite club.
Yes.
And then when, you know, we obviously every year we're having tryouts, and your young son, Alex, you know, Larry came along, and you know, I think we met him first in an indoor session, and which is sometimes difficult because it was like a small little gym floor and so forth. So my first impression of him was this fella is very, very quick, and he's pretty tenacious.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when we took our tryouts outside, then we got the chance to see really how good and what his potential was really like as a soccer player.
Right. And you know, he was with you for a couple of years, and you guys developed a really good relationship, you know, coach and player. And could you share with us some of the stories or some of the things you remember with Larry playing for you, you know, some of the games and some of the qualities he brought to the team?
Well, I mean, the first thing that when I met Larry was that you could just see the game that I love, which was soccer. You could just see that the passion that he had for it.
Yeah.
I think he came along and he wore this mostly Argentinian shirt to most of our practice sessions, and he had this big smile on his face with a big long hair that he was. And actually, the long hair was probably the reason was Batistuta, which was the Argentinian centre forward, was his idol at the time. But my stories with Larry was just getting to know him as a player. We gave him his position not based on him being deaf.
Yeah.
We gave him his position based on his ability and his potential that we could drag out of him as a soccer player. Like I said to you many, many times, you know, Larry is the only player that listens to me compared to most of my other players, you know.
We use that line all the time.
Larry would come, and I remember days that he'd come, and he so really wanted just to play, and he'd give everything he wanted. I used to have to calm him down an awful lot because he was so feisty and tenacious that he a little bit over-aggressive in his tackling, and that's where I had to curb him back, you know. He was a forward, but he played a lot like a defender at times because he would really, really be very aggressive going after the ball and so forth. So my first part of my job working with him was to calm him down, and because he might end up getting too many yellow cards or red cards from me at that time, you know.
I remember one game you put him to play defense, and after the game you were at your car putting in your bags and stuff, so you said, Alex, ask Larry how was the game, and he said, oh, it was okay, and you said, but you had a good game. He said, yeah, but I'm not a defense.
I know. So, but again, that his tendencies were that he was such an aggressive type player.
Yeah,
he could play there. Yeah, his skills lent that he should be a forward.
Yeah.
But sometimes his tendency lent that he could play play at the back as it went on.
Yeah. All right.
You know, I mean, another part of the thing that I remember really recall is that how the rest of his teammates talked to him. You know, I can't recall a time when we looked and said, okay, Larry is deaf. You know, Larry has this disability.
Yeah.
For some reason, from the job that he had done before he even got to me, and you and your family had done for him. That his confidence was always very strong.
Yeah.
He was very sure of himself. And so when I talked to him with you as my interpreter, I never really held back or felt like that was getting in the way of his progress.
Yeah.
I'm sure from his standpoint, it was probably, you know, he had to work harder than most of my players because of obviously being deaf.
Yeah.
But I know, and I've talked to players since that have played with him, and they all feel the same way, that really nobody treated him that way.
Yeah.
Because you did not know that this was something that he had.
Yeah, he never let that held him back on
the
team. And Brian, I must say quite candidly, that came from you. That came from the top. Because I remember the first day Larry came to tryouts, the indoor tryout, and I didn't know you, you didn't know me, and like I said, you never met Larry before. And you told the guys, make sure and pass the ball to him when the opportunity arises. You know, treat him as an ordinary player.
Yeah.
And you set the tone from day one. So I must give you credit for that.
Well, I mean, you know, I get credit when a young man like Larry comes back and calls me his favorite coach.
Yeah.
I either say maybe he hadn't got that many coaches in his day, or else no. I really take. I'm very, very happy that I got the chance to be around Larry, because he's the type of guy that he wasn't just around me for soccer. He was around me for a lot of things. I know I became great friends of your family,
and
I went to have dinner at your place, and
we came to your place.
That's right, and Larry and his sister Charisma, we work at camps together.
Yeah.
But I think I talked to Larry, and this is funny, more times than I talked to most of my players at that time.
Yeah.
I used to get on my remember getting on my phone, and I'd wait for the interpreter to come on the phone, and I'd have conversations with Larry.
Yeah.
Whether they were about games or whether they were about, you know, furthering his academics or whatever we had conversations on. So I really, it's funny that even not in just face-to-face, because I don't know sign language, and actually Larry sent me a tape and gave me, you know, steps, one of those steps, step-by-step ways of learning sign language.
Right.
And I wasn't smart enough to pick it up, you know. So he sent that to me. But I remember talking to him, and I always felt like, even though I was going through an interpreter on the phone, or when I was going through the interpreter of his father or his sister or anybody, that we always had great communication skills,
always.
You know. Because he always knew what I was thinking, and I felt that I got... really knew what he was doing.
And the thing is, I know both of you respected each other, and then the passion for the game, he saw that come out in you, and that's what he liked.
Yeah.
You know, and...
to me, there's always things that get us through life, you know, and typically it's following you, the things that you're passionate about.
Right.
And I could tell, and you probably had talked to this already to your viewers or your listeners, that Larry probably played with a ball since day one. Right, and hasn't stopped till then now.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
but his passion for the game, he got the most out of his game in the sense of what he did every day. He comes with a smile on his face, but he worked harder than everybody. And I knew no matter what he's gonna do leaving me, he was already successful, because he was, you know, no matter what job he decided to go into. I was hoping it'd be some type of coaching job as he got on, because as he went through college and soccer was still a big part of his life at college, that I knew that no matter what he did, and I always felt it maybe around that teaching of the game or some level.
And he did coach at a learning center, and you know, it was funny when I went to one of the practices, I saw the head coach, you know, the guy who was a head coach on the sideline, and I said, Larry, why is this guy giving you all the work?
Yeah.
Why are you coaching it? And he said, no, I'm the head coach.
Yeah.
That guy is my assistant now. So when he went to school, they recognized his abilities. You know, he played for the U.S. Deaf Olympic team in Italy. He played in Wales. He played, you know, in California, wherever. And, you know, he had these achievements. And they won 2 championships under Larry. The kids loved him. And it was so funny, you know, his size. Yeah. Some of the kids were bigger than him, and they will just, like, drown him. Yeah. So,
Now, Alex, I mean, I'm asking you this question. You were at all the games because you were my assistant coach.
He actually
did more than just be the interpreter. Yeah. He was giving me a lot of great support throughout the times. But what would you say, you know, you were there at the games and your eyes were on the games all the time. When Larry is, what it was his best moment that he recalls to you, and then I can recite what was going on at that time.
His best moment when he was in the game.
Yeah, well, in what game in particular? One that he had any fond memories of, or one over another?
I know when you guys were in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, for some reason he wasn't having that. You know, he was having a fun season, but he didn't think he was delivering enough. Right. And I remember in Connecticut he scored this goal, and it just changed. The whole energy changed for Larry and the rest of the team. And he was running around. And the thing is, he even did this when he played varsity. And the referees allow him to do this. And they wouldn't let the other kids. He was running around. And you, and I know you made a comment. You said, this guy's like Valderrama. He scored one goal and he's running around the whole field.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing that way. The reason I asked you is that I wanted to come out from you is that he put so much pressure on himself
to succeed. Yeah.
And if he feels, and we were a high level club in Massachusetts and New England, that he always felt he wasn't given enough. And one thing that we talked about was that, hey, relax, you're doing fine. But he always felt like he could be doing more, and he used to get himself frustrated with that at times like that. But he was, you know, from our standpoint with the players around him and the experience he got in the 2 years that I coached him as an actual player, I saw him grow from, you know, someone that came in a little bit tentative in what he was doing to someone that became very, very confident. And, I mean, I was confident enough at the end of the day to say, okay, you know, you want to come to Providence College and we can get you into our group at Providence College.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, Mr. Independent wanted to go a little bit far away, California, you know. And I recall calling the coaches from California, Cal State.
Yeah.
And because knowing that a player has a disability like being deaf, I know that they'd want to be assured if they were taking him on that this kid could get the job done at that level, which is, you know, the highest level outside of professional in this country.
Right.
And I was there and letting them know that this young man had the potential to play at that level and make the squad at that level.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know the obstacles that coaches have, and are they willing to do the extra mile to help this person that has a disability?
Right.
But most people are.
Yeah.
And I think when he went out to Cal State, at the start, he got a shot, and then I think he had a change of coaches. From that standpoint.
But he did very well. At this point, I just want to tell our listeners, please download our free story, PDF and audio, by going to www.deafparenting.com. And Brian, as we carry on this conversation again, I know we're talking about how you have seen him develop. But I want to ask you, have you ever had experience with a deaf player or played with somebody deaf in Ireland or the States in your career?
No. He was the first one that I can recall, you know, that I had this much to encounter in the sense of playing with a deaf player. And the obstacles that he had to face in a sense of, you know, playing a game that's communicated not just through body language, it's a lot of verbal, especially being European.
Yeah.
And a lot of times down in South America and in Caribbean, it's done differently. They don't talk as much as we do, but we use being a European, the standard that we do, we constantly getting our players to talk and communicate.
Right.
And, you know, I'm thinking, how is he going to be able to get over these obstacles. But, you know, Larry had a funny way of making himself being heard on the field at all times. And he was probably the loudest of all the players. Yeah. When he was open, we all knew that he was open.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he would make enough noise. Yeah. Do you remember when he went for his, I remember the story, when he went for his driver's license and he got his picture, and talking about his long hair, he had his long hair and his Argentinian jersey, and he gave you one of those pictures.
That's right. Yeah, when he headed off to, I think it was around California that time, that we got a good picture from him. But to me, you know, I was so delighted that I got the opportunity to coach somebody that was so passionate about the game.
Right.
And I still see him over at Boston College or different games out there where there's Larry and his wife and his baby, you know, his future soccer player.
Yeah, she's kicking the ball around.
Right. So
her name is Ravina.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and you know, like you said earlier, from coaching Larry, our families became good friends. And you know, Larry and Charisma, they coach in your soccer camps. I think it was up in Winchester.
Yeah,
somewhere.
We had one up in Winchester. Yeah. And Larry was great at camps. I mean, and Charisma, your daughter, is also very charismatic.
Yeah.
And so we would give them their own group. And and Larry was there showing all the skills, worlds, and his sister helped him out interpreting. But it was just something that I didn't see any problem with it, and in a sense of how he could get the job done, because he was like the Pied Piper out there, him and Charisma. That by the end of the week of camp, all the kids wanted to hang out with Larry and Charisma, because rather than some of my other coaches, you know.
Any other stories you remember about him? Or?
I just think it's fabulous that somebody like Larry, I mean, if I was, you know, put a capsule on it, somebody like Larry that comes along, and when I see what he can get, and obviously from his upbringing, from Raz and yourself, Alex, that what he gets out of his life, he sort of puts me and people like me a little bit to shame, you know, because I see what he does on an even now at this stage, but even when I was dealing with him, I'm like, this young man gets an awful lot done, and there's no obstacles that get in front of
him.
And to me, I was able to, it was great, because I was the teaching tools he was able to give me to teach my other players and even my own children, as I became a father at that time, and my kids were small, that you know when people start to complain about there's obstacles in the way, that here's a young man that wants to play a game that traditionally to get to a high level you'd want to, because of balance and everything else, but his balance was tremendous balance he had in speed, that he was able to get the most out of it. So nobody could ever, you know, and he made me look at myself and think that, you know, when we all feel sorry that, you know, this is not going right in your business and you can't get ahead.
Yeah.
And he was able to push through many, many obstacles. So, you know, selfishly, I got an awful lot from young Larry than he got from me.
Yeah, well, I think it went both ways, and he still talks about that. And even when we did our story, he contributed. He talked about the relationship with you. So, you know, the thing we want to get out there to the listeners is that, and we share in with Brian Ainscough today. Brian's now the head coach at Northeastern in Boston, soccer coach, is to really encourage people, and not only deaf people, people with other disabilities, and as Brian said, even people who don't have disabilities, to see what, you know, Larry has achieved, and the way he went about, you know, the thing he was passionate about, his first love, soccer. And we want people to learn from this and, you know, help you in your journey, you know, as you go along. So hope you all get something from this, and thanks a lot, Brian.
I really
appreciate it.
I hope it was helpful, and again,
helpful.
It was very good for me to get to know Larry, and I'm sure I'm gonna see him pretty soon.
Thanks so much for listening to Raising Deaf Children podcast. Please visit our blog at www.deafparenting.com. sign in and download the free PDF and audio for our story. We appreciate your comments and feedback. Please feel free to share your story with us on the blog. I am sure it will help other people on their journey. The highlight of this episode is your kids can excel in sports. Just support them. The quote of the day, adversity causes some men to break, others to break records. Thanks a lot and make it a great day. Please go to www.deafparenting.com and download our free story. Bye now.